Well, let's turn our Bible to the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. Well, I beg your understanding that today's sermon title is changed to Walking with God, okay, which will cover overcoming conflicts, okay, in our passage today. Okay, and that will cover from chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. Okay, Genesis chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 13. Okay, and how we may be blessed, okay, by the word of God. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 13. Okay, let me read to you. When Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys, from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And a Canaanite and a Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Joab. Then Lot told him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. May God bless us in the reading of His holy and precious name, precious word. Now, walking with God would be a more accurate sermon title for our passage to consider. Now, walking with God is a metaphor that we use to describe our Christian life and how we walk with Him every step in obedience to God's word. And so when we use the walk with God to describe our relationship, our obedience toward God, it becomes very clear to us. And straight away we understand how we ought to walk close with God come automatically. It requires our part to play. And what are we supposed to do in order to have a closer walk with God? Well, there is no other way but to know God through His Word. And by knowing His Word, we come to know His will. And by doing His will, because it is more than just knowing God's word, we must do His will. And when God finds us doing His will, which is well-pleasing to Him, well, we are walking close with God. And God will find us well-pleasing before Him. Of every born-again, true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, now, when we have fallen into sin, and then when God's word rebuked us, God, you must ponder upon us that we must have this desire to walk right with God again. Now that is the experience of Abraham, because we know what happened to Abraham when he, due to the lack of faith, how he take things into his own hand. Well, he chose to go into the south, to Egypt, without consulting God. And so he left the land of promise to go to a land which he thought, well, he could be well fed. Well, in the time of famine, well, he thought that it would be wise of him, well, just go all the way to where food was found. And that was what he had done. But before he was found in Egypt, what did he do? He loved his life, for he knew how beautiful Sarai was. And so he knew that his life would be at stake. And so he began to hatch a plan, to tell a lie in order to save his own life. Now that is all doing without God. The lack of faith in God, whether it be provision or the preservation of his life. But God is merciful. While walking with God, you have all these challenges. When God's people fall and sin against God, it is the desire of God that they may be restored. And so Abraham's walk with God is restored, as we see in 13. Now for Abraham, it is evident before him how God has intervened. Okay, because God will not leave him alone. God will restore him. And how did God restore him? Well, we read from verses 1 to 4 that Abraham went up out of Egypt. Because as long as he remained in Egypt, he will be outside the plan of God. And so he had to go out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And so Abraham is now back to the land of promise. And that is very important. He left due to his lack of faith. Okay, because he wants to provide for himself in the midst of famine. He wants God to preserve his life. And in the end had to tell lies to save himself. And Sarai almost ended up becoming another man's wife. And so when God intervened by sending plague to Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh rebuked Abraham for his sin, for lying to him. And then also how Pharaoh had before enriched Abraham with so much more. Well, Pharaoh did not take back the thing that he gave to Abraham. Now all this added wealth will serve as a reminder to Abraham. No, this had been obtained by lying, by deception. And so it will serve as a reminder to Abraham how he had fallen away from God. And so his walk with God must be restored. And we know that he had been restored. How do we know? Because he went all the way to Bethel. Well, Bethel is a place where he built the altar to worship God. And most importantly, what did he do there? The last part of verse 4 tells us that Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Now this calling on the name of the Lord is very significant. Why do we need to call upon the name of the Lord? To walk with God again. Well, it's never a good feeling. Well, especially when you harbor a guilt feeling because of sin, for falling into sin, for falling into temptation. And of course, the Holy Spirit prompt you, and then the Word of God rebuild you. And then how you have shamed the name of Christ. And now as we call upon the name of God, you want your relationship with God to be restored. You want God to accept you back to Himself again. And that is what Abraham has done when he called upon the name of the Lord. And so his walk with God is restored. And that is very important. You and I cannot take all this for granted because our faith will be challenged from time to time, just as Abraham's faith will be challenged from time to time. And we will learn from how he overcome the many challenges. How he lived his life as a man of faith. And so that you and I, who are also given faith, we are also the sons and daughters of the Most High God by the grace and mercy of God. Our faith will be challenged. And how will we overcome? And so Abraham went back to Bethel and called on the name of the Lord. Well, a true child of God will want to return to God, to be made right with God again. He will not leave it be. And God will never turn away from His children who truly repent and desire to walk with Him again. Now, the first challenge that we are going to see, there are total two main challenges that we are going to see in the text. We look at the first one. The first challenge is the conflict between Abraham and Lot. Okay, from verses 5 to 13. Now, verse 5 to verse 9, we see the first challenge. Okay, the two challenges are found from verse 5 to verse 13. Now, the first challenge is from verse 5 to verse 9. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And so Lot, being his nephew, well, had been with Abraham since the beginning, traveling from Ur of the Chaldees, not even to travel to the land of Canaan, and then all the way down south, even to the land of Egypt, and then now back to the promised land. Now, verse 5, we were told that Lot also had flocks and herds and tents, just like Abraham. And so there were basically two families traveling together. Abraham's family and Lot's family. And so together with their flocks and herds and tents, big problem. And then the problem, we see that in verse 7. Okay, verse 7, and there was a strife between the herdsmen and Abraham's cattle, and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. Well, because the land could not bear them as they traveled together. Well, the land of Canaan was very big. But as long as Abraham's family and Lot's family traveled together, the area that they were in cannot provide sufficient food for these two large families. And so Abraham's walk with God is now being challenged. Well, because of the strife. Well, the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot began to fight food to feed their cattle. And so what is the solution? Well, the solution is obviously to separate. Okay, which is in verse 9. Okay, it was proposed by Abraham. Is not the whole land before thee? He said to Lot, separate thyself, I pray thee. And so separation is inevitable now. And it is the only solution. But the conflict between Abraham and Lot will affect Abraham's walk with God. If it is not dealt with, if it is just left alone, it's going to affect his walk. It's going to affect his testimony for God. And so the herdsmen of both sides were quarreling now. But there is no peace when that happens. It disrupts the spiritual life of both Abraham and Lot's family. Definitely. And certainly not a good testimony to bear. Okay, because in verse 7, the last part, the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell then in the land. So it's not just a testimony towards one another. Within the family, it is very important to have this peace. Okay, we must live in peace because we are brothers. We are brothers, we are in the family. We must live in peace. But we are not just maintaining peace among ourselves. But there is a testimony to bear also to those around us. And in the context of Abraham and Lot, the Canaanite and the Perizzite also dwell then in the land. And so they have a testimony to bear. Now what is the significance of this portion of the verse, you know, that was recorded for us? Now if Abraham and Lot were to continue quarreling, that's over food. Food for the cattle, perhaps in the end, food for themselves. That keep on squabbling, quarreling, all this strife and conflict. But it will give the enemy, well, which are the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the opportunity to come and to destroy Abraham as well as Lot. And then if Abraham is killed, then where would the promise of God be fulfilled? Well, will not Abraham not behave in his faith will be left in jeopardy? And how will the Messiah come? Because a nation will need to be born. A people of God will need to be made. And then the Messiah will need to come to Abraham and Sarah. But all these conflicts, you know, although it's a conflict between the family, well, it can affect our walk with God. Well, if we have this spirit of strife in us, and not willing to make up, not willing to forgive, not willing to forbear with one another, we're not talking about doctrinal differences, just over certain domestic arrangements, and how we may maintain the peace among ourselves. Well, are we not allowing our walk with God to be hindered? Because our walk with God would include obedience to Him. And so what is the commandment that we are to keep in order to have a closer walk with God? Is it not to love God and to love one another? And so we will allow this spirit of strife, the conflict between brothers. You know that what happened to Abraham and Lot. Just to let it happen without solving it. Well, it will affect their walk with God. And so they may even end up killing one another. And even the enemy may just take advantage of the situation to destroy them. And so God will not let this happen. And so the only solution was what Abraham suggested. Well, in verse 9, to go separate ways. Now the reason for separation is clearly what Abraham said to Lot in verse 8. Let there be no strife. I pray thee between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen. For we be brethren, we are brothers. Okay, it was all in the mind and the heart of Abraham. Abraham cherished their relationship. And he being the older, led the way. Okay, there is no pride in Abraham, okay, in giving Lot the option. You just choose where you go. You go right, I'll go left. You go left, I'll go right. And so it must be made clear to Lot. And he gave Lot the priority. Because if Lot were to choose right, and then Abraham also choose right, they would still be together. In fact, Abraham has every right to choose first, because he is the owner. But he let Lot choose. Full of humility. He did not do it on self-interest, but out of love. Because of the peace that he desired among brethren in the family. Now this is all because he wants to walk close with God again. Doesn't want this conflict to affect his walk with God. To jeopardize the promises of God being fulfilled to him. And so Abraham passed the first challenge. Now how about the second challenge? Now the second challenge we see from verses 10 to 13. Okay, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Okay, and Lot, it must be that he agreed with his uncle Abraham. Okay, to separate. And so Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, at the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Okay, and Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And so this second challenge has all to do about choosing, the choice that you make. And it's upon Abraham. How did Abraham choose where he's going to dwell? Because it will be based on where Lot will choose to dwell. Because he has already given priority to Lot. If Lot were to go to the left, he will go to the right. And if Lot were to go to the right, he will go to the left. A complete different direction from Lot. And so how Abraham will choose the place where he would dwell would be the second challenge. The second challenge to his walk with God. And so Abraham's walk with God is no more challenged by strife now. They were now separated. But by the choice which Abraham is going to make where he will go. Now let's look at Lot first. Now Lot chose to dwell towards the sinful Sodom. And how did he base his choosing? Well, is it not by sight? Because he looked around, he beheld. And that's the word to describe how he looked very carefully. He scanned through the land. He knew where are the fruitful part of the land. Where the blessing lies. In other words. And so, Lot was attracted by the blessing that he saw before his eyes. And so, we can safely say that Lot's walk with God is by sight rather than by faith. Because that is how he began. You know, how to separate from Abraham. Now, my uncle Abraham is not going to be with me. I'm now given the priority, the choice, and now I've looked before me, the land, the vast land, and I want where the blessings were found. And so Lot is walking by sight. But he calculated all the costs involved, because not only we find about the land, how it was so prosperous. It's a fruit-bearing land. It's a land have a lot of blessing, no doubt about it. But what is the spiritual condition of the people who dwell in this same piece of land? Now, we were not kept in the dark, because we were told, even in verse 10, what kind of a place that Lot was eyeing on. Is it a good place? Is it safe for Lot to dwell there? Well, the last part of verse 10. That this is the land before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, it is not a good land. Now, why is it not good? Well, the last part of verse or rather in verse 13, tells us very clearly, even before they were destroyed, what happened to the men of Sodom? What did they do? Well, verse 13 says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Plain and clear how Lord chose the direction that he wanted for himself. He walked by sight, not by faith. He allowed the material blessing to cover up his eyes. Oh, never mind about the spiritual and morality of the people. I think I'm strong to overcome that. I want a land that is filled with blessing, that can guarantee me returns. Well, it seems like he has calculated very well. He has seen ahead of him. He has sold before him a very good land, but he failed to consider. What are the consequences that he had to pay a price for not taking into consideration this more important criteria of his choosing? Now we want to look at Abraham. How did he choose? Look at verse 12. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the city of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, it doesn't really tell us a lot of information, doesn't it? Well, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. Now, this tells us a lot. Why? Because it is exactly what God had called him to come out of the Ur of the Chaldees, to go into the land of Canaan. He is willing to walk by faith and not by sight. He is willing to be led by the Spirit to move from place to place as the Spirit will lead him. He is not going to, because of sight, oh, this is a good land, I'm going to decide for myself. Now look how he decided for himself before. When there was a famine, what did he do? When he decided to make things by himself without consulting God, he fell into sin. He failed the test of faith. But this time, he passed. He passed the second challenge. He dwelt in the land of Canaan, as plain as this verse could give to us. He continued to be led by the Spirit of God. He continued to walk by faith. He's not going to allow what he sees before him to make him compromise his faith. Now clearly, Abraham knew about the man of Sodom. If his intention is for the blessing and wealth, and for the land that is flowing with milk and honey, he could very well take things in his own hand and chose to be like Lot. And what did Lot do? Pitch his tent towards Sodom. In other words, he is opening himself to the sinful cities in Sodom and Gomorrah. And there is a very high chance of him compromising his faith. But Abraham will have none of this. And so Abraham passed the second challenge. No more taking matters into his own hand. Which is very important. Because many a time, we thought we are doing the right thing. We thought we had made the right decision. But have we prayed? Have we searched carefully what is the Lord's will in this matter? Or are we just looking to our advantage? Oh, this is good for me. This is very obvious. How will I want to suffer loss? Surely I want to be blessed. And then we dare to say, God wants me to be blessed. And surely that this is the way to go. Well, how about Lot? Lot may be choosing a place that is well watered, full of blessing, but at the price of his own faith. Because we will know later on in the book of Genesis and how he suffered the consequences of his own choice for pitching his tent towards Sodom. And a very high price. Because he is at the expense of his own family. Living in vexation of the spirit because of the immorality of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Let us not use wealth as the criteria. Let us be ready to suffer. Let us be ready to take the path which God wants us to take by faith, not by sight. If we were to walk by sight, then we will end up in the wrong way. And we will suffer the consequences of our wrong decision. And so thank God for Abraham. Because Abraham is determined to walk with God faithfully. This time, he may have failed in the previous time. But now he is not going to fail. He's going to trust in God. He's going to walk by faith. And so how is your walk with God today? Has it been challenged by the demand of this world? Maybe because of your studies, your CCA, the many commitments that may cause you to compromise. Now you have lesser time to spend with God. Will you say that it is okay? Does it bother you when your walk with God is not close at all? Does it bother you when you're not obeying God in His word? Does it bother you? It definitely bothered Abraham. He called on the name of the Lord in battle. He need to be restored in his faith and in his walk with God. And this is what ought to be seen in every born-again believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it must bother us. Our relationship with God, our walk with God must be restored again. If sin has been harbored in the heart, we have been sinning against God and covering up again and again. God wants us to decide if our walk with Him is important or not. Because if it is not important, then our faith is a big question mark, isn't it? Are we really children of the light and not of darkness? Are we willing to suffer a lot? Know there may be challenges that you face at work. Oh, this is what my boss demands of me. I must produce the work, no matter how. So I have to work overtime. And then my boss expects me to work on Sunday. If not, I will lose my chance of promotion. I will lose out to others because others are working so hard, burning all their Sundays. I think I better not lose out. Well, if this is our attitude, then we will put down our walk with God as something that is not important at all. Then how will God honor us? And how will we be blessed? We will not be walking close with God at all. Many a time we know the right thing to do, but we do not do them because we are afraid of losing out. We saw the blessing, and we are afraid of losing the blessing. And even the conflict and the strife that Abraham and Lot now are going through are very common today, isn't it? In the news, we have read enough of how siblings brought one another to court because of their parents' inheritance. How they sued one another. Just over a piece of land. Well, the land may be costing millions, but it's at the expense of relationship. And worse still, if they are believers. And so what if we win? You become richer because you have won the inheritance to your name. But you have lost the testimony. And you have shamed the name of Christ. And what about your walk with God? Can you still say you are walking close with God? It's far from it. You have watered your testimony down the drain. Why? Because you have failed to show love. You have failed to forbear. You have failed to forgive. You have failed to walk by faith. And so it's a sinful thing if this were to happen to believers. And especially in the household of faith. Whereby as families, you know, we ought to have this mutual love, mutual care, forbearance for one another. When conflicts arise, well, we know what to do because of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to give us the wisdom how to overcome. Just like God gave Abraham the wisdom to overcome the conflict between him and Lot. Well, let us walk with God today. If your walk with God is not as good as you think it to be, don't live it. Do something. You may have to build an altar before God. May not be the literal altar, but to come back to the Lord in confession of your sin. And pray before Him. Call upon His name. And how your walk with Him may be restored. Because without that, others will not follow. It will not be in place. Your walk with God must be made right again. Abraham start all over in battle. You and I need to start all over again. Start afresh. The past is the past. Let us work on the present to do that which is right and pleasing in God's sight. And then we look ahead. How we walk by faith and not by sight. So if I have to lose this job, so be it. But I want to walk close with Him. Isn't God the one who blessed me with this job? And He can bless me another if I were to honor Him. Because I take my walk with Him seriously. And so let us do whatever is right in the sight of God. That God may strengthen our faith as we learn to keep close to Him. By walking by faith. And not by sight. Well, Lord walked by sight because of all these blessings that blinded his eyes. He is the example of one who walked by sight. And he suffered for it. Abraham is a man of faith. Let us also have the same faith. Because this God is a God of promise. He promised to deliver us from our sin. Even right in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, He gave this promise to Adam and Eve. And even to all the Old Testament saints, and God kept His word. And though indeed Jesus came, He is the Messiah who had been promised to God's people. And now we look back, the fulfillment of the promise of God to give us the encouragement. Because it is the same God whom we believe today. The same God who has promised Abraham is the same God who has also called us to salvation. And now we are partakers of all these wonderful promises that God is pleased to give to us. And especially the promise of everlasting life. The forgiveness of sin, which we cannot work on our own to enter heaven. And it's the same message we ourselves have experienced and have believed and embraced. It will be the same message that we are going to share with others. But we must have a close walk with God. Because without this walk with God, restored, established, how can we share with others the wonderful blessing that comes out of this walk with God? We are not able to share, isn't it? There is no power in our sharing. So if we have come back and walk with God again, we will continue to pray that you will remain faithful. We may have failed time and time again, but ask the Lord to help you be made right again. And each time, you serve as a reminder how you ought not to fall back into sin again. And so let us pray for one another. That's what we are here for, to encourage one another to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And so let us walk with God like Abraham did, all the way to the end. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the faith of Abraham and how he has called upon Thy name, because he wanted to walk close with Thee again. And he will not allow his walk with Thee to be hindered again because of his lack of faith in provision and preservation of his life, and how he has sinned against Thee, and how he has been rebuked for his deception, even by a heathen king, that serve as a reminder how he has fallen. But Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast restored him back to the right path, and we see the evidence of his faith once again, and how he walked by faith and not by sight. And how he has learned, even through humility, the walk with Thee is far more important than anything else. Even more important than material blessing. O Lord, help us. Help us also that we may learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And to keep our walk with Thee well-pleasing before Thee, we may be found faithful until the very end that we meet our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. O Lord, help us. Help us that for the many times that we are tempted to look at the world for all the material blessings that seem to be so attractive to our eyes. O Lord, we pray that we will learn to put Thee first and to be serious in our walk with Thee by drawing closer to Thee through Thy word and by the help of the Holy Spirit. And then we know that Thou hast given us the wisdom to make the right decision in life that will be well-pleasing before Thee. Help us, O God, and we commit our walk with Thee unto Thy loving hand. In Jesus' name we pray.